كانت من النساء زنا زنا سلكيا شخص اسم الدم زينة تسمى سري قردي نمها سري شيطان يمر بيستم ستفيتام زينة بوشلي سيام خطقا مايام زدتي سابنتيكام Vanjaka Vatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vai Vacha Tanam Pagane Vyo Vai Sunday Vyo Namo Namaha. When Maharaj Cricket asked Sukadeva Goswami about deliverance from hellish suffering due to sinful reactions, Prickett Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami's reply first was atonement, meaning that you do something wrong and then you perform a ritualistic activity that removes the reaction for that wrong. Maharaj Prickett thought this was insufficient because the desire to act inappropriately, sinfully, wrongly, still remains in the heart. So he told this to his teacher, Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami replied by describing that one needs knowledge, because knowledge removes the root of the tendency to sin, because sinning ultimately comes from our ignorance. Lack of knowledge of who we are comes from identification with the body. This is ignorance. So eventually Sukadev explained the topmost knowledge that fully cleanses ignorance from the heart, and that is bhakti, kechit kevalaya bhaktya narayana parayana agam dunvanti kachnaya niyaram eva bhaskaram. And then to illustrate the power of bhakti, how it is the foremost process of atonement, he began to narrate the story of Ajamil. And Ajamil was a very nice, clean young lad in his youth, Brahmin boy. But by fortune, chance, just karma, fate, he saw a prostitute embracing a man, and his mind became polluted, and he took that prostitute into his home as maidservant, and eventually kicked out his own wife, married the prostitute, and lived a very long and sinful life, thieving and stealing and drinking and doing horrible things. But he named his son Narayan, Narayana, a name of God. So when 88-year-old Ajamil was calling his, very constantly of course called his young son, Narayan, come here, do this, do that. And then when he was dying at 88, he called out very helplessly with full-heartedness to Narayan. At that time, when he was dying, he was being pulled. The soul, he, was being pulled from his heart, his heart, meaning the body. The heart is the property of the owner of the body. And the owner of the body, the life within the body, is the soul. That's us. Adishtayam manastayam vishayupasevate. That the soul is within the subtle body, the mind, chitta. And that part of us, that subtle part of us, is also called Atma. There is the Atma, meaning the soul, means the ultimately who we are. Then there is the Atma, meaning the mind, because based on the mind we identify ourselves. And an Atma also can mean body. Self can also mean the body. So the soul, as long as we have material consciousness, is enwrapped within the mind. and that mind is enwrapped within a body. But there comes a time, of course, called death, when the soul and the subtle body, the mind, must leave the gross body, and every one of us will have to confront that. And based on what we've done in this life, we have to take our next birth. So Ajamil had done so many horrible things, and the messengers of the Lord of Death, the Yamadutas, Lord of Death is known as Yamaraj. Yama means death, and Raj means the king or lord. So the messengers of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, came, these ferocious creatures came to grab, and with their ropes, their nooses, to pull the soul and subtle body from the heart, because he had done so many sinful, abominable things, he was going to be judged and punished. So as the Yamadutas were pulling Ajamil, the servants or messengers of Lord Vishnu came and stopped them. "You are taking him," they said, "for punishment. But actually, this man is sinless." How is it possible that he's sinless? He's done abominable things in his life. Everything is witnessed. So the Vishnudutas told the Yamadutas, after stopping them, that you're the ones who are representing Yamaraj, who is also known as Dharmaraj, the lord of religiosity. So you please tell us who gets punished, who doesn't get punished, by what criterion does one get punished, who is sinful, who is sinless. You describe the philosophy to us by which you're working and by which you have judged Ajamil as sinful. So they began to describe how, define what is sin and what is piety. And they said, Veda pranahitam dharma, that the absolute standard of what is punishable and rewardable comes from the Vedas, the Shastra, the Vedic scriptures, and they come from Narayan, who is eternal, the source of everything, the Lord. And everything that one has to act by nature, one can't avoid acting. Just try and stop moving for 1 minute, for 20 seconds even. And if we can't stop moving physically, the mind will still be moving. It is the very nature of the soul to be active. And while we're in the realm of Maya, under the control of goodness, passion, ignorance, the forces of material life, Maya Dakshena Prakriti, this is how the material world is moved by the Lord, by the Maya Shakti of the Lord, the illusory energy of the Lord. So one is doing so many things in this life. We can't avoid it. And according to our nature, we're acting either good, in a good way, a passionate way, or an ignorant way. And depending upon how we act, we get reactions. Everything is witnessed, and there are reactions to everything we do. So those were the principles that the Yamadutas described. Then they described Ajamil's specific case, and they said, "Oh boy, if you calculate what this man has done, he was sinful, he did this, he did that, he robbed, he cheated, he stole, he looted, he burned, just to maintain his family, just for something completely selfish, and therefore he's committed so many sins, and therefore he has to be punished." But the Vishnudutas replied, "This is very bad, that you are messengers, have such responsible positions to carry out what is, to discern religiosity from irreligiosity, but you're completely wrong how you're discerning. This man, rather than being sinful, is sinless. How is that possible? He's committed so many sins. How can someone who sins be sinless? How can a pauper be a rich man?" And the Vishnudutas explained that just by his chanting of the name of Narayana, not to remove the reactions of his sinful deeds, but he was calling his son, because Namno Baladyasi Papabudhi Navidyate Tasi Amari Shuddhi, if one chance to remove the reactions of the sins he's committing specifically for that, oh, that is a very great offense. And one really has to suffer. But Ajamil's mood wasn't like that. Rather, he was just calling his son. But yet, as fire, whether one has knowledge or one has no knowledge, one is in ignorance, as it burns both kinds of persons, similarly the holy name of Narayan, Lord Vishnu, Krishna. By Ajamil's chanting of that, he has removed the reactions, more reactions to sin than one can commit in his whole life, indeed for many lives. How powerful is the holy name of Narayan? How powerful is Krishna's name? So after glorifying Krishna's name in this way, the Vishnudutas, explaining with knowledge, without knowledge, still so powerful. Touch fire, it burns, regardless if you're a scientist who have studied the properties of fire or you're a two-year-old child who knows nothing about fire other than it's attracting me. It burns. Similarly, the holy name liberates. It atones and does even more than that. Atonement, the removal of sins, sinful reactions, is just a small aspect of the potency of the holy name, of Krishna's name. In the same way that before the sun arises in the morning, it removes darkness. That's before sunrise. It removes darkness. What to speak of when the sun has risen? So when the holy names arise within the heart, they do so much more than remove sins. Because what the holy names award is love for Krishna, prema bhakti. Nama basya hoitehai sava papachai. Just the abbas. Abbas means the reflection of the holy names. Just like if the sun is shining into a piece of glass or a mirror that's outside and the reflection of the sun is in here, it will give some illumination in the room. So just the reflection, the abbas of the holy names removes the sinful reactions from the heart. What to speak of the sun being in the room? What a difference between the reflection of the sun and a mirror in the room and the sun. What a difference itself. What a difference in potency. So after describing the glories of the holy names in several verses, now we're continuing the glories of the holy names spoken by the Vishnudutas. Now Sukadev Goswami continues. This is text 20, canto 6, chapter 2. My dear king, Sukadeva is speaking to Maharaj Prabhu, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service with reasoning and arguments, his reasoning and arguments based on Shastra, on the scriptures, not just reasoning and arguments, because one can't understand these things based on an ascending process, on the process of just understanding with our own minds, but reasoning and arguing, they have relevance when based on Shastra. So having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajamil from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death. 21. My dear Maharaj Prickett, O subduer of all enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened. They had been stopped by the Vishnudutas. Never before this had happened. So they went to their master and they spoke to him and said, "What is this?" So that is going to be described. Their discussion with Yamaraj on this topic is the subject of the next chapter, chapter 3. But now we're going to see what happened with Ajamil. Having been released from the nooses, the ropes of Yamaraja's servants, the Brahmana Ajamil, now free from fear, came to his senses. He was about to die. But now, by the grace of the Vishnu Dutas, caused by his chanting of the holy names, he was free from the grip of death, and therefore he was released from fear. He awoke, he came to his senses, and immediately offered obeisances to the Vishnu Dutas by bowing his head at their lotus feet. He was extremely pleased by their presence, for he had seen them save his life from the hands of the servants of Yamaraj. O sinless Maharaj Prikit, the order carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas, saw that Ajamil was attempting to say something. So he had awoken and he paid his obeisances and he began to talk to the Vishnu Dutas, and thus they suddenly disappeared from his presence. We'll read the second half of Prabhupada's purport here. Because Ajamil was now free from all sinful reactions, his lifetime was extended, even though he was to have died immediately. When the Vishnu Dutas saw Ajamil trying to say something to them, since all his sinful reactions, they disappeared to give him a chance to glorify the Supreme Lord. Now it'll be interesting what we're going to hear in the remaining verses of this chapter is what happened to Ajamil. And how did he react? Just imagine, after having such a near-death experience and after being terrified, you're being pulled by horrendous creatures who are pulling you forcibly out of your body, terrifying, and then being saved by the servants of Vishnu. Now, how did he react to this? He was free from fear. What else? So we're going to hear his mood after being saved. So the Vishuddhutas disappeared because they wanted him to glorify not themselves, but the Lord. Indeed, Prabhupada continues, one cannot glorify the Lord unless one is completely free from all sinful activities. This is confirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Esham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanva moha vinayamukta bhajante mam dvida vrita. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my servants' service with determination. The Vishnu Dutas made Ajamil aware of devotional service so that he might immediately become fit to return home back to Godhead. To increase his eagerness to glorify the Lord, they disappeared so that he would feel separation in their absence. In the mode of separation, glorification of the Lord is very intense. Text 24-25. After hearing the discourses between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, Ajamil could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of material nature. These principles are mentioned in the three Vedas. He could also understand the transcendental religious principles which are above the modes of material nature and which concern the relationship between the living entity, the living being, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he understood different levels of religiosity. He understood the parodama, the supreme religion, which is the soul's relationship with Krishna. And then he understood the religion which is meant to elevate one gradually to that platform. And instructions are given, religious instructions are given to people according to their position. So one person is told, don't steal. This is a religious principle. Don't kill. Another person is told, if you have to eat meat, if you're eating meat, you should eat a goat, don't eat cows, you should eat goats and kill them in this way. But another person is told something on a completely different level, just chant Krishna's names and give yourself fully to Krishna, to God. Surrender fully to Him. So these are all religious principles, but they are all not equal in value any more than 1 and 1 equals 2 is equal in value to quantum physics, the equations that one learns to solve in very detailed physics. They both may be mathematical equations, and they both may be true, but there is no comparison as to the level on which that they're true. One is advanced, one is less advanced. So Ajamil understood this, and he understood what the ultimate issue of religiosity was: surrender to Krishna and devotion. He could also understand the transcendental religious principles which are above the modes of material nature and which concern the relationship between the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Ajamil heard glorification of the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are the essence of the practice of Parodhamma, the Supreme Religion. These are the essence of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, to hear about, to glorify, to remember the qualities, names, pastimes, characteristics of the Lord. So he actually engaged in bhakti. He thus became a perfectly pure devotee. He could then remember his past sinful activities, which he greatly regretted having performed. So due to this experience, his consciousness completely changed. We'll read the last section of Prabhupada's purport. People generally think that religion should be pursued for material profit. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, "God wants you to be happy." And the S in wants had lines through it as a dollar sign. Because that's people's conception of happiness and God, and what the purpose of praying to God is. You know, keep business afloat, the stock market, my stock's up, others people's down. And that's religiosity. But of course, to pray to God for material things is a principle of religiosity, but it's like a 1 in 1. 1 plus 1 equals 2 principle, because acknowledging that everything is in God's hands is better than thinking everything is in my hands, but it is not a very high grade of worship, of love. True love is causeless. So this may be suitable for persons interested in material life. But one who is interested in spiritual life should be attached to Parodhamma, the religious principles by which one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Yatya, Bhakti, Hoshije. The Bhagavat, the religion, based on service to God, pleasing Krishna, teaches that the Lord and the living entity are eternally related, and that the duty of the living entity is to surrender to the Lord. When one is situated on the platform of devotional service, one is freed from impediments and completely satisfied. After having been elevated to that platform, Ajamil began to lament for his past materialistic activities and glorify the name, fame, form, pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the first thing he began to do was lament. Lamenting the inappropriate, sinful, selfish, cruel activities He had performed giving pain to others, divorced from God, trying to get pleasure in a miserable way that had brought so many sinful reactions to him. So he began to lament. Ajamil said, "Alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me." We'll come and read some of Prabhupada's purports after, but we'll first hear Ajamil's words of lamentation. "My father and mother were old and had no other son or friend to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great difficulty. Alas, like an abominable lower class man, I ungratefully left them in that condition. It is now clear that as a consequence of such activities, a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles and must there suffer extreme miseries. Was this a dream I saw, or was it reality? I saw fearsome men with ropes in their hands coming to arrest me and drag me away. Where have they gone? And where have those four liberated and very beautiful persons gone who have released me from arrest and saved me from being dragged down to hellish regions?" So he understood that the Yamadutas were dragging him to hell and the Vishnudutas had saved him. "I am certainly," he continued, "most abominable and unfortunate to have merged in an ocean of sinful activities. But nevertheless, because of my previous spiritual activities, I could see those four exalted personalities who came to rescue me. Now I feel exceedingly happy because of their visit. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it would not have been possible." Ajamil continued, "I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all-auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayan? I am so sinful, most sinful, and the holy name of the Lord is sinless. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Pono Shuddho Nitya Mukto. It is complete, it is pure, the holy names are complete and pure, eternally liberated. No different from Krishna, and look what I am. So how have I been able, such a sinful person?" It's when someone knows better and then acts sinfully, their sin is still greater than someone who acts sinfully out of complete ignorance. And Ajamil was saying, "I am like that. I knew better, and yet how I acted. Look what I've done. So how could a person like me have chanted Krishna's names, who are so pure, and myself so degraded? This could only be possible because of having performed some devotional service previously. I am such a sinful person. But since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life, and senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. So he had seen how he had been uplifted, and what he didn't want is to have to fall down into that degraded, miserable consciousness, sinful consciousness, which would bring so much suffering to him. He did not want to have to fall that into that again, and therefore he's giving his prescription. First thing, he says, first he recognizes the opportunity, and then first thing, I must completely control my mind, because when the mind attaches itself to an object of sense enjoyment, it makes the person capable of doing anything and everything. First thing, I must control my mind, I must control my life and my senses, and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. Because of identifying oneself with the body, one is subjected to desires for sense gratification, ignorance. And thus one engages in many different types of pious and impious activities, all selfish and based on the ignorance that I am the body. Selfish can be mentally selfish, physically selfish, extended selfishness. Identifying, I want the best for my family, but I don't care anything about anybody else's family. Extended selfishness. I'll kill for my family, but if I see my neighbor being harassed, it doesn't bother me at all. Or I can kill him if he touches members, all based on the body, bodily selfishness. So this consciousness, he understood, ready to do, and this is what his mood was, I'll do anything to maintain my family, and indeed he did everything and anything. Horrible things. And thus, one is subject to desires for sense gratification due to identification with the body, and thus one engages in many different types of pious and impious activities. This is what constitutes material bondage. This, the reactions to these things, trap one in the material world. Now his determination. Now I shall disentangle myself from my material bondage, which has been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy in the form of a woman. Being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy and have become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. What is it? What is a dancing? Why is that? What is a dancing dog?
Not in the circus.
Huh? You ever see in a circus a dancing dog? He'll stand up on his hind legs and jump all around and beg, and the master is just holding some little. Even bears in India, you see these big huge bears that dance around, and that, you know, they have the power to kill someone, crush them, and so many things. But they dance at the hand of their master. So one gets like that if one is victimized by the illusory energy, thinking oneself the body, and thinking that because of my body, I want to enjoy my body as much as possible. Therefore, that places one in the control of the member of the opposite sex who awards one sense enjoyment through sex life. So I was victimized, he said, by maya, illusory energy, illusion, ignorance, due to identification with the body, want due to wanting to enjoy the senses. And I have become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from this illusion. And the core illusion is identification with the body. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. False lures. Like the allure, when you think of lure, that is what's placed on right around the fish hook with some bait. So the bait of sense enjoyment is presented in the form of some little tasty worm or something with a lure to attract the shiny lure to attract the fish's attention. And then because he wants to enjoy, he bites the hook. And therefore he is caught, captured, and reeled to his death. So I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. The lure is shiny, and the fish becomes attracted, and he thinks, aha, I shall enjoy. In his fish-like way, primitive thinking, he thinks, I shall enjoy. And the result is his death, his suffering and his death. So I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the real conception of I and mine. I am Krishna's, and Krishna is mine. This is the vision of someone out, free, released from illusion and ignorance. Because of a moment's association with devotees, the Vishnudutas, Ajamil detached himself from the material conception of life with determination. Thus, freed from all material attraction, he immediately started for Haridwar. Haridwar means the door, and Dwar means gate, gateway to Lord Hari, to Krishna, to Lord Narayan Vishnu. And is, of course, a holy place. So, let's go back and read some of the purports, very important purports that Prabhupada has given to these verses. When he starts condemning himself that he, because of his sinful activities in text 27, Prabhupada writes in his purport, this is the mentality of one who is becoming a pure devotee. When one is elevated to the platform of devotional service by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, one first regrets his past sinful activities. This helps one advance in spiritual life. The Vishnudutas had given Ajamil the chance to become a pure devotee, and the duty of a pure devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. Not only should one give up his past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion. Ajamil also regretted that he had given up the care of his pure parents. In this age, all these things are not even considered sinful. It's not considered sinful to engage in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, giving up your parents. None of these things are considered sinful. They're considered standards of society, and the government indeed basically propagates that these are the standards of life. But this is not the standard of a life based on knowledge. So he now he speaks about the Vishnudutas and the fortune he has attained in their association. Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarusanga, Sarusanga, Sarva Shastra Kai, Lava Matra Sarusange Sarva Siddhi Hai. Association with devotees is recommended by all the Shastras because by even a moment of such association, one can receive the seed for all perfection. In the beginning of his life, Ajamil was certainly very pure, and he associated with devotees and brahmanas. Because of that pious activity, even though he was fallen, he was inspired to name his son Narayan. Certainly this was due to good counsel given from within by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham riti sanavisto matya smitir jnanam aponam cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and for me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, is so kind that if one has ever rendered service to him, the Lord never forgets him. Thus the Lord from within gave Ajamil the opportunity to name his youngest son Narayan, so that in affection he would constantly call, Narayan, Narayan, and thus be saved from the most fearful and dangerous condition at the time of death. Such is the mercy of Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. By the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, one receives the seed of bhakti. This association saves a devotee from the greatest fear. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore change a devotee's name to a form that reminds him of Vishnu. If at the time of death the devotee can remember his own name, such as Krishna Das or Govinda Das, he can be saved from the greatest danger. Therefore, the change of names at the time of initiation is essential. The Krishna consciousness movement is so meticulous that it gives one a good opportunity to remember Krishna somehow or another. Ajamil continued to lament about his horrible activities and how he was saved by chanting Krishna's names. Those engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Narayan Krishna through the Krishna consciousness movement should always consider what our position was before we came and what it is now. We had fallen into abominable lives as meat eaters, drunkards, and woman hunters who performed all kinds of sinful activities. But now we have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, we should always appreciate this opportunity. By the grace of the Lord, we are opening many branches, and we should use this good fortune to chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. We must be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall from the most exalted life. Next, Ajamil says, I was so sinful, I'm so sinful, but now I have gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life, and senses and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into this deep darkness. Prabhupada's very short purport here. Every one of us should have this determination. We have been elevated to an elevated position by the mercy of Krishna, the spiritual master. And if we remember that this is a great opportunity and pray to Krishna that we will, not fall again, our lives will be successful. Now he laments his being controlled by the bodily concept of life and his desire for sensual enjoyment, and therefore that's led him to be a dancing dog in the hand of women. Prabhupada's purport. This should be, so he said, from now on I shall give up my lusty desires and free myself from this illusion. I shall become merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's purport. This should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. A Krishna conscious person should free himself from the clutches of Maya. And he should also be compassionate to all others suffering in those clutches. The activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. One who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others and who therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. Such an advanced devotee will never fall down, for Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone is like a play toy in the hands of the illusory energy and is acting as she moves him. One should come to Krishna consciousness to release oneself and also to release others. Prabhupada's next purport, after he describes his chanting of the holy names, and therefore he decided, continues his determination not to fall to the lures of material, false lures of material sense gratification. Henceforward I shall not identify with the body, I shall give up the false conception of I am mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. How a living entity, Prabhupada says, becomes a victim of the material condition is lucidly explained in this verse. The beginning is to misidentify the body as oneself. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins with the spiritual instruction that one is not the body, but is within the body. This consciousness can be possible only if one chants the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mantra, and always keeps oneself in the association of devotees. This is the secret of success. Always chant and keep in the association of devotees. Therefore, we stress that one should chant the holy name of the Lord and keep oneself free from the contaminations of this material world, especially the contaminations of lusty desires for illicit sex, meat-eating intoxication, and gambling. With determination, one should vow to follow these principles and thus be saved from the miserable condition of material existence. The first necessity is to become freed from the bodily concept of life. So therefore, we should very carefully study what book? Yes. Carefully, often, we should study it from beginning to end and study it again and again and learn how it is put together, and we should learn the deep meaning of the verses and read carefully Srila Prabhupada's purports and become fixed in knowledge that we are not the body. So we should study Bhagavad Gita very carefully. So we're up to Ajamil's leaves for Haridwar. Prabhupada's purport. The word Mukta Sava Nubandana indicates that after this incident, Ajamil, not caring for his wife and children, went straight to Haridwar for further advancement in spiritual life. Our Krishna consciousness movement now has centers in Vrindavan and Navadvip, so that those who want to live a retired life, whether they be devotees or not, can go there and with determination give up the bodily concept of life. One is welcome to live in those holy places for the rest of his life in order to achieve the highest success by the very simple method of chanting the holy name of the Lord and taking prasad. Thus one may return home, back to Godhead. We do not have a center in Haridwar, but Vrindavan and Sridham Mayapur are better for devotees than any other places. The Chaitanya Chandradoya temple offers one a good opportunity to associate with devotees. Let us all take advantage of this opportunity. Text 40. In Haridwar, Ajamil took shelter at a Vishnu temple, where he executed the processes of bhakti yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind to the service of the Lord. So it's interesting how, although Ajamil had even seen the Vishnudutas, still he wasn't qualified yet, and he had chanted the Lord's names, he wasn't qualified yet to go back to Godhead. So Ajamil saw the opportunity that was given to him by this newfound extension on his life to become more qualified. He was freed from sins, and his life was extended due to that. And now he used the remainder of his life to become deeply qualified to enhance his love for Krishna, the natural love for Krishna which dwells in his heart. So he took shelter at a temple, a Vishnu temple. So this is what he did. He went to Haridwar, not just went to a holy place, but he took shelter at a Vishnu temple where he executed the process of bhakti yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. Purport. The devotees who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement may live comfortably in our many temples and engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus they can control the mind and senses and achieve the highest success in life. This is the process descending from time immemorial. Learning from the life of Ajamil, we should vow with determination to do what is necessary to follow this path. 41. Ajamil fully engaged in devotional service. Thus he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. So he became determined. He first lamented and became determined to give up his sinful activities and fix his mind in Krishna consciousness. And then he immediately took to those processes which would award that to him. He placed himself in a situation which would allow him to do that. Because if he made that determination and then started going to the movies and started watching television and started doing this and started doing that, what hope would he have had to maintain that determination to remove ignorance from his heart and remain fixed in devotional service? So not only was he determined, but he acted on that determination. He acted in a very practical way. Didn't challenge the laws of nature either. He acted very practically. So Prabhupada in his purport explains, if one worships the deity in the temple, one's mind will naturally be absorbed in thought of the Lord and of his form. And then one becomes the topmost yogi, as described in the last verse of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam api savesham, out of all yogis, madgitain antaratmanam, one who is always thinking of me within, Shraddhavan, and with great faith, Bhajate, worshipping me, Bhajate Yomam, Same, such a yogi, Yuktatamo, Same Yuktatamo Mata. He's in a class by himself, the topmost yogi. So this is the best process of yoga. Ajamil focused his mind on Krishna by through bhakti. When his intelligence and mind were fixed upon the form of the Lord, the Brahman Ajamil once again saw before him his four celestial persons. He could understand that they were those who he had seen previously, the Vishnudutas who had rescued him, and thus he offered them his obeisances by bowing down before them. So they went away, as Prabhupada explains in this purport, to give him an opportunity to fix his mind fully on the Lord. And then he, understanding that these same persons had come, he offered obeisances. I was so thrilled to see them. Upon seeing the Vishnudutas, Ajamil gave up his material body at Haridwar on the bank of the Ganges. He regained his original spiritual body, Swarupam, his own rup, immediately, which was a body appropriate for an associate of the Lord. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil boarded an aeroplane made of gold, passing through the airways. He went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, who is the husband of the goddess of fortune. Ajamil was a Brahmana who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name of Narayan. He was liberated by chanting, by a glimpse of it, not getting the full effect of the holy name, but he was liberated, freed from all sinful reactions. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation and mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes the fruit of activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. So there's two more verses and two more purports to read in this chapter. I think I'll stop because these are very nice purports and verses. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. All glories to the holy names of Krishna. Glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, Ajamil the Vishnu Dutas, and Srila Prabhupada. All Bhakta Vindiki. So tomorrow there's no class, but on Friday we'll have class of Krishna Das.